Is it got any weird stuff in it that we should know about on tell the front us, end?
Just so we can have that first sip and be like, oh no. It's always in my brain. I'm always like, oh no, this was not what it was supposed to be.
You're funny. You're really funny. I like you.
Well, I think this is the one.
This is the least dark Belgian dark strong
I've ever seen. What is
this? That's what I'm looking at it, and I saw the bottle. We got the right bottle, and it tastes good.
It says it right. It says.
I can smell some.
It's good. It's really good.
It just ain't very dark.
It's not dark.
What's the ABV on this sucker?
Yeah.
27.
Yeah.
14. Which is funny for, you know, Belgian dark strong, I expect raisins, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Candy sugar raisins.
Yeah. Yep. I'm waiting for that special B. There's a specific malt that you would use in a Belgian dark strong called Special B that contributes that sort of raisiny candy sweetness, and gives a nice dark color, which this beer is definitely darker in color than the last one, but I wouldn't call it dark. But it's interesting. I think water is such an important characteristic of beer. And when a lot of people say, oh, well, all of their, you know, when they're talking about a specific brewery, all their stuff tastes the same or all their stuff tastes similar. Well, of course it does, because the water coming from that brewery, it's the same water in all those beers. So there's going to be a degree of consistency across somebody's brand because the primary ingredient in that is water.
So wait, this one's supposed to have the Riesling must in it too?
Well, that's what I'm wondering. I'm trying to figure out on the notes here if this is with freeze-dried honeydew melon.
What?
And Niagara Riesling juice.
When they dined on honeydew.
Yeah. I don't know.
I have questions.
Yeah, right?
You may have to investigate further.
Yeah, it's just not as dark as I was expecting it to be.
No, and you can't really tell because the bottle's pretty darn...
And this one, I mean, this one tastes more like a straight Belgian... ale
for sure. I think one.
There's nothing adjunct.
The fire hydrant beer was much more the wine forward.
Yeah.
Whereas this, I get more Belgian character out of it.
I think those Canadians are trying to trick us.
Crafty Canadians.
Or maybe this is the Canadian version of a Belgian dark.
Shouldn't it say Belgian style dark strong?
Well, we'll be back with more here in just a minute.
It's not just the destination, but baby, the whole elation riding down this lover's avenue. As slow as a willow blows, or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. To the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love, our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
Welcome back, everyone. Today is an episode that is an ode to Rush, essentially. And right before the break, we started talking about the Moving Pictures beer, which was, it's a 2022 limited edition beer. This came out about the time of the 40th anniversary of the record, Moving Pictures. And it is a... It says on here that this is a Canadian golden ale and not a dark.
Oh.
So,
all right. Well, that makes sense.
So that would make more sense, because before the break, we were talking about how this is not dark.
So is there another Moving Pictures beer that is a dark Belgian style?
Did they do two versions?
I I don't see that here.
Okay. Well, let's go on the assumption.
Yeah, because now I'm looking at the Rush website, which is talking about this beer that was released
in
March of 2022. And they are saying that it is a 11.9% ABV strong ale with fruity notes of berries and grapes with a spice and floral bouquet to round it out. Also, aromas of maple syrup add complexity while tannins help balance out the sweetness.
Why do Canadians have to put maple syrup in everything?
Everything.
Because that is their version of butter. Those,
they actually have that instead of blood. You cut everywhere. A Canadian, I have.
Those boys
there's a little bit of maple syrup that leaks out before the blood. It's
those
true.
Boys get the syrup in them. They get all antsy in the pansy.
Well, I don't get any.
I don't get any maple syrup in this.
I don't get any maple.
Yeah, it's to me, this is not as good as the last one. Yeah. Good flavors. It's a good beer. I'm enjoying it. I mean, I would definitely drink more than one, but
I guess in the context of a Canadian golden ale, 12% beer, not bad.
Yeah. And again,
now that we're not expecting it to be dark.
Yeah.
Right. And I think it's held up well too, right? As a beer that came out in 2022.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, for 2 years. Yeah. But isn't it safe to say that a lot of Belgian style beers can last a bit?
I mean,
yeah, enough booze. Everything sticks around for a second.
Yeah. Like your natural preservatives in beer are hop oil and alcohol. So, typically, the Belgian stuff, you wouldn't expect them to be super hoppy. But if they're super strong, that also helps.
Oh, maybe all the maple syrup fermented out in the bottle. Yeah, that's what I'm going to say.
So this is really interesting. So at the Black Abbey Tap Room, periodically, we bring in guest taps. And given our direction of European-influenced American craft, when we bring in a guest tap, we try to draw a line in the sand and say we really want this to be some sort of Euro beer, right? And I feel like that's important. And so we brought in Unibrew's 30th anniversary stout, which was brewed with maple syrup.
Of course.
When we first tapped it, standard U.S. coupler, tapped it, pulled it through the line, went to pour the first pint, and it just spat. At an extremely high velocity.
Oh, wow.
Because it had re-fermented.
Like it was dying to get out because of the re-fermentation.
Yeah,
because
there was so much maple syrup in it. Wow. I'm guessing that it wasn't pasteurized, right? Yeah. Maybe it was. We thought it was really, we're like, what is this? Do we not have our pressure set right on the draft system? What's going on? And then, we gassed it off a little bit and then it poured great. And I think a lot of times when you start playing with these raw sugars, unfiltered stuff.
Yeah. I mean, you can kind of get a little re-fermentation. Yeah.
Or exploding cans.
Or exploding cans.
The best.
Boy, you go to the store and you see some of those cans that are kind of misshapen and kind of bulging out.
I used to go through the warehouse and just see, stuff that's there's nothing like that. We have an entire pallet of cans start to you're just sitting there like, what's the next one that's gonna go? Let's find out. Yeah. Sounds a good time.
So what do we want to rate the I already forgot what it's called. So moving
pictures.
Things.
Moving
sure,
pictures.
Yeah,
pictures.
Yeah.
We're gonna rate it a 3.
All right.
Yeah.
Can I get a picture? Moving pictures.
Next time more syrup, people.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about Xanabrew. Yeah.
No, it's yours.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
high marks for the pun.
Yes. Yeah, right. Okay, so Belgian style ale and 10.5% ABV.
I'm sorry, I cannot get that Olivia Newton-John song out of my head now.
But this thing is very pale.
Yeah.
And by comparison, the last one was much darker. This is a very, very light, almost looks like a Pilsner for Belgian ale. Is it a Belgian strong ale, Belgian golden?
It says Belgian style ale.
Okay.
That's all they're going to give us.
That's all they're going to give us.
It looks great.
Yeah. On the back of this, it's Kublai Khan standing at the bar in the Pleasure Dome.
Wait, what?
Yeah, said to his followers, geez, after all that pillaging and stuff, I could use a nice cold one, eh? It would be great if one day beer geniuses invented a delicious Belgian-style brew we could have on tap. It only took 807 years for Kublai Khan's dream to come true.
All right.
Like I said.
There you go.
Yeah,
what a bunch of quirky, weird dudes.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, while we taste this,
I like
Juliana,
it,
why don't you tell us about how you first exposed yourself to Rush?
Ha! Funny. Okay. Well, I'm kind of late to the game because, granted, growing up, you would hear some Rush songs, and I'd be like, yeah, yeah, that's, you know, that's cool, that's cool. But I really wasn't exposed to it till I moved to Buffalo in 95. And Counterparts was the first record that I actually like listened to and was drawn into. And then I subsequently like went and found the back catalog and started listening to that. And then going to shows, because like back in the day, it was easy to cross the border and you could see Rush play in Canada all the time. And it was, I mean, it's so easy. Like, you just get on the QEW, drive for 10 minutes, and you're there in Toronto.
Toronto? Is that near Toronto?
It's a suburb of.
Yeah, oh, okay. It's a burb. Sense. Yes, yeah. It's a burb. Yeah. So if I wasn't, like, seeing musicals there, I'd be seeing Rush. And I fell in love with them because I was also getting into prog rock at the time. Stop it. And there were similarities. And then I listened to Hemispheres, and to this day it's still my favorite record.
Songs, each one of them's like an hour and a half.
It's okay. But this is what records were like back then. Like now you have a single and you get a bunch of singles that are like sort of like, you know, puked onto a record. And wow. That's the end of it.
Is that how they're made now?
Yes.
No, but it feels that way. You know, there were themes. There was a lot of thought that went into the A side and the B side of a record and all of that. And I just really appreciate them and have always loved them. And I haven't seen them as many times as Iron Maiden, but still they're up there in my top 10 bands of all time.
I guess I never thought of Rush as prog rock because I don't remember any of the albums where someone was banging trash can lids together or any old British ladies screaming at the top of their lungs.
You're not sticking the dagger into the left side of my
They're
house.
They're more of a working man's band.
Yeah,
but they are.
See?
They are. Yeah.
Modern day warriors. Yeah.
Fine. Fair. That's fair. I mean, they are modern day warriors. Good for them.
Yeah, they are. But they are. And they're a thinking man's blue collar band, if you will, if that makes any sense. And for three band members to make such a sound, that's like, it's really impressive. And as a pseudo bass player myself, like, I mean, Geddy Lee can just do no freaking wrong.
I heard I don't know if it's true, but Gene Simmons claims he taught Geddy Lee how to play bass.
That's ridiculous. Gene Simmons should teach himself how to play bass.
Okay, fair. Gene Simmons should just teach himself to play any instrument.
It is really funny that you bring up Gene Simmons because I was actually about to bring up Gene Simmons.
Do tell us about Gene Simmons.
Well, if you haven't seen the Rush biopic, Time Stand Still, you should see it. Because it documents the final tour, their last tour. Mm. And in the beginning of that, for the last couple of records, Rush was on Rounder Records, which is based here in Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
And so the guy who did our website for a while and does Yazoo's website and whatever also worked at Rounder. And really got to know those guys.
Oh.
In the beginning of that Time Stand Still biopic, there's a bunch of different interviews, one of them with Gene Simmons, talking about the early days of Rush and they were on tour with Kiss and some of...
Which is so bizarre.
How all that...
Yeah, that's... Yeah.
Right, so strange. Yeah. And it was during that time when they were all wearing bathrobes and, you know, that like that pre-2112 era where it was just really trippy and sci-fi prog rock. one time the guys in Kiss, they stapled slippers to the floor in on the stage in front of their microphones, in front of Alex and Getty's microphones, so that, like, because they would come out in these ridiculous kimono robes and they were like, oh, you forgot your slippers, and they just stayed on the floor. But Gene Simmons, one of the things that he said was, like, the first show that they did with Kiss, he said, you know, I come out and I see what this drum kit, this Yahoo's got set up out here, and all these toms and gongs and cymbals, and he's like, this is ridiculous, this guy's over the top. And then within the first 3 minutes of the first song, he's literally touched every item on the drum set. Yeah. And he's like, oh, well, all right.
Yeah. Yeah. He's kind of legit.
I guess he does need all this.
Yeah, I guess he's here for all this stuff. And if you haven't seen Time Stand Still, I would highly recommend it, because it was a fascinating view into Rush at the end, right? Mm-hmm. How they were... like how the guys got along together, how they did or didn't want to go on the road anymore. It was a really interesting take. I went with my son, who was, I mean, he must have been 12 maybe at the time when we went and saw that movie. And it was right at the beginning of his interest in Rush. And then almost immediately afterwards, Neil died. And so it was like his interest in the band was just beginning, and then he would never get to see them. And then, but for me, of course, it's like at the end, right? Because I had seen them multiple times and had known and loved them for a long time. And so it was a really weird space for me to be in watching that movie with him. And he and I still talk about it years and years later. So if you have the chance to watch that film, I think you really should.
No, good call. Good call.
Will do.
Yeah. I mean, they're still such an amazing band. And now Geddy Lee has this little mini series going on.
Yeah. Our bass player's human too. Yeah. Like, it's on Amazon. I don't know if you guys watched
it's
it.
It's
weird that that is the name of it, because I've always felt that Geddy Lee is an alien. There's no way that man, there's no way he's human. The he way looks he like can a bird. Play a bass the way he does and sing in that range.
Yeah.
He's not fully human.
Of this earth.
Well, but the guy from Primus is his brother then. Because
he's definitely an alien.
What's his
Les Claypool?
Yes, Les. Yeah. In fact, there's an episode with Les and
Geddy
it's
together.
Amazing. It's like it's just perfect. But
I feel the same way about Primus that I feel about sour beer. I had respect for it.
Really? No, not for your me. Jam. Okay. God. Jerry was a race car driver.
Bad.
Oh, sorry. Okay. So what do you guys think of this beer?
Xenobrew.
I finished mine a while ago. I was kind of nice to not see any adjuncts or anything. It was just like straight to the point. Mm-hmm. Nice clean finish, a little bit of grain at the end. Yeah.
This is the most Belgian of the Belgian ales we've had.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
got that Belgian character you think
just
you're going to get.
Of it. Yeah.
But it's almost subtle, but it's a really well-drinking beer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is my favorite of all of them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think so too, because this is like truest to style, if you will.
Straight
yeah,
to the point.
I'm really
digging
this.
I think they keep making this one too. Yeah. So, I mean, it's going
to
be.
It's hard to make a Belgian beer this good. They can go sideways.
Even
quick.
For Belgians.
Yeah, okay. Fine. Well, whatever. We are going to rate the Xenobrew, which I believe is the most recent release, anyways.
Yeah.
A 5. Yeah, I'd like to pick up some more of this. Okay, so it looks like we may have
got a little
time.
Extra time.
Yeah, we do. So let's get into a bonus beer.
A bonus beer from another power trio fronted by a singing bass player who coincidentally are no longer together. So
yeah, which is
sadly
no longer alive.
Also true.
Fair.
Mm. Somewhat. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Thanks, Kendall. Thanks for bringing it down.
Wow. Man, I miss Lemmy.
Mm-hmm.
So for those of you that are just now listening, we are talking about Motorhead's Iron Fist. It's a loud and hazy India Pale Ale, 6% ABV. And it is brewed by Lift Bridge Brewery in Stillwater,
Minnesota.
Yeah. So again, 2022 is the 40th anniversary of Iron Fist, which was released in 82. God, I'm getting old. Wow. It is Motorhead's fifth studio album and the last to feature the three amigos of Lemmy and Phil and Fast Eddie Clark. So, okay, quick thoughts about this.
It's a hazy IPA. You're getting what you think you're going to get. Seems pretty well made. I would drink too.
I mean, it's solid, right?
Yeah.
Like for what it is, it's not too fussy. This
makes me want to play video poker and drink Jack Daniels.
That's freaking awesome.
So
Sparky,
perfect.
How about you?
It checks the box.
All right. We're going to rate it a 3. And that is going to do it for today. This was a really cool episode. At least I think so. Well, thanks everyone for being here for a Rush tribute. Good old boy Kendall, thank you so much for being here.
It was a pleasure.
Please tell us about your blog.
You can find me and my wife at bm3.beer. Check out what we did last year when we hit every brewery in the state of Tennessee.
Woohoo. Good old boy Carl, thanks so much for being here today.
Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
And how can we find you on socials?
You can reach me on Instagram is the best way, at Black Abby Carl.
Perfect. Good old boy Sparky.
Thank you for helping me to fulfill the terms of my work release program, as always.
We are here to help you, Paddington. Good old boy Dave.
Bye.
This is good old gal Juliana. Keep on chugging and catch you next time.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap.
Just tap it in.
The subscribe button.
Give it a little tappy. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo.
The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, Uncle Larry, or whoever it is that talks to you on your phone. Play podcast, Sip Suds and Smokes. We love your feedback, and you can reach us at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our tasting notes flow out on Twitter and Instagram with our handle @SipSudsAndSmokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands,
millions, and millions
of other fans on those social media platforms. Do us a favor. Take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. That's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. Come back, join us for another episode, and keep on sipping.
Production of Sip Suds and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the good old boys, will see you all next time.
la 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 la.
Leave.